Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Solomon's Porch Ministry. We thank you for tuning in to our Sunday broadcast with Pastor Philip Mosey. As you listen to today's message, may it refresh and revive your spirit and connect you to your purpose. Now introducing Pastor Philip Mosey.
Because reference to people, those who sit, I think worldwide, 3 of those 3 people.
Thank you. Well, Because I think there's a false belief. of this, this whole spirit of the false belief. People think they're saved, but they can't be, according to the scripture. So it's important for us to really go through this process. And as we talk about church growth, it's important for us to understand that first, we have to be ashamed. Secondly, we've got to understand the gospel is the power of unto salvation. People won't get saved until I get the gospel in. You can, listen, even in your household, you want your household saved, get the word in. You start to download the word in you, watch folks all around you start to get saved. The reason why I know is I got a brother that got saved. The way I got saved was I got a brother who, he got saved, and I believe my brother went into his room in solitary confinement with the word. It had to have been at least 4 months, 5 months.
No food, no drink.
No food, no drink. I mean, he came out, he had full beard, bird, flying out the room, trees that crawled in there.
Two taps.
But when he came out the room, he was full of the word. And he told everybody in the house, you're going to heaven.
Straight.
Let me tell you why that resonated with me, though. Because God had been dealing with, God already always had a God consciousness. When he started talking about hell, that resonated with my spirit. Now, he shouldn't have been going around the house telling everybody was going to hell. But he was full of the gospel. And it became power. I'm telling you, what happened after he started talking about we were hell bound, I started getting interested in salvation. I'm speaking to somebody who the church has gotten muted. That's why folks ain't getting saved. Ain't no power.
That's right.
You understand? But that's the resurrection, when he died, there was power. There was boldness put in my life. That I could tell the gospel and people's lives be changed. We sit here with dynamite in them and won't speak. We can blow people's lives apart that they're getting right into the things of God. Sitting with the gospel, don't even know. Don't even know God's power. So when the church grows, what he's saying is, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation to everybody that believes. Then he says something to the guy here, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. Say that to your neighbor. To the Jew first.
It's really weak. It's coming off this computer. Shouldn't the volume be loud?
Okay. Amen. So, what I got that written down, I'm going to make sure I have a special thing for that. It's interesting. So, the first thing was, you can't be ashamed. The second thing was, it's about salvation. The third thing is, you have to start. See, the Jews were the, that's where the whole faith was. So, it's got to start from the home, and then you go out to the Greeks. And the Greeks were the diaspora. That's why all the Jews had been dispersed. Remember when they got put in slavery to Jews? Because they were disobedient and rebellious. God really sent them everywhere. Now, these were the Jews. The Greeks were the, let's talk about the Greek Jews, amen? The Jewish Greek. They spoke Greek because they were in this Greek-speaking place, amen? And it's interesting to me that he says that it's for the Jews first. Well, when I think about us as Christians, we need to really be thinking about home first before we can take the gospel anymore. You can't get your household back. You can't go so fast there. You're going to be different. Your household first. Make sure that your house is changed.
The program is
changed.
This mic is built in, not the
right. But the mic on the video camera?
I love the fact that we need to understand we can't be ashamed. gossiping when you're around the most people that you don't want to say around. Okay. Spit the gospel. I remember there were times that when I used to first got saved. Look at your neighbor say, long time ago. Long time ago. I remember when I used to catch the bug to my job. And I definitely got saved. And I'm telling you, I would hear the Holy Spirit all the time while I was on the bus.
Yeah.
And I used to hate. I would always hate to get on the bus. Because I knew the Holy Spirit was going to tell me to stand up, or it's going to be that little somebody on that bus. He's going to tell me, go hug and speak the truth. And every time he would do it, I said, that's the devil. That's the devil trying to encourage me. Listen to me now. I'm talking to somebody that's done been here before. Probably was here last week. Because God is always speaking to us. Once we get the gospel, the power, the resurrection power, it's got to come out.
Yeah.
And if we keep in, I'm telling you, we're sick Christians because we're keeping in the power that's within.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a dynamite within you going off and you just let it just blow off? But it really wants to come out and affect people. I'm saying something to somebody. So it's about this shame. Gotta be shameful about it. Tell it. And then walk away from that conversation and say, God, it was you. The people are going to look back at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't give you 2 or 3 amens on that. But that's all right. Somebody on there going to need to know what it is that the gospel is speaking. Amen?
Amen?
So I'm telling you, you can't be shameful about the gospel. Number two, you got to know it's about salvation. People's lives need to be changed everywhere you go. Listen, the church growing is about people's lives being changed. No matter what you think, it ain't about us listening to being on television and your love being. It's about people's lives changing. That's why he wants you to have the gospel, for people's lives to be changed. I think, I said it earlier, I think that he's coming back soon. And we need to be communicating what this gospel is about. Because I think the blood will be on some of our hands, because we didn't go to the Jew first. Let alone the Greek. We didn't start the Jew, we didn't start at all. Amen, I'm saying something now. So if the word is to increase, what the book is saying is we've got to have an understanding of what the purpose of us having the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
So go back to the original scripture, Acts 6:7, and look what it says. You there? It says that the word of God increased. That was the discourse that we have to have with God. Look, and then something else happened, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. So not only was there a discourse, now God is speaking that now disciples have to increase. I love that. Because once the word of God increased, what's inextricably tied to the word of God increasing is the fact that now that the number of disciples are multiplied in Jerusalem. So there will be a multiplicity of people that become disciples because the word is increased. I get the word in me, the body of Christ grows. I don't have the word in me, there'll be 6 over disciples.
All right.
I get the word of God in me, a nation is changed. The world is changed.
Yeah.
I don't have it, I can't even change my household.
Okay. Right.
So God is speaking to us now that there's a discourse, but number two, there has to be this increase of discipleship. The disciples in our lives will increase. I love this. Because I see what God has shown me about Solomon 4. That every seat is filled with people waiting outside to get in. That's because we're going to have the word in us. And people are going to be drawn to the very resurrection power that was in us. Amen. I'm saying something.
Amen.
Amen. Then he said, the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly in the last day, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And I wrote that. You got these priests at that time. I'm going to go into this real heavy in a minute. But these priests at this time were literally the disconnected church. Look at your neighbor and say, disconnected church. Why do I call the priests disconnected? Because these were the same guys that killed Jesus. These were the same guys when Jesus came, they didn't recognize. So these priests, I love it now, were coming to the faith because now the word it was increased. Disciples were being multiplied. Now even the disconnected church, look around you right now. A wish there was more in the church. That's what I'm talking about.
That's some disconnected saints. That's some priests in the house now that are disconnected from the very gospel. And God is literally saying we're going to have church grow. The priests now will come to faith. That's when we have the word. You got me? When we get the word and it's increased, and the number of disciples start to multiply, and then even the priests now will stay. Now, what I want to talk about, I'm going to do it real quick because I think I'm just about out of time. I want to talk about some of the principles for a growing church. Now, this is interior. This should have been done, not with the county, but we're going to talk about some personal things, I believe, as we go relative to Solomon's Court. And we'll put some of our
business
in the spirit. Amen. But I believe what's in this story or what's in this scripture, I believe is the principle for a growing church. I know it's a problem for it. This is the very thing that we need. I'm going to start with verse number 1 of chapter 6 of Acts. Start with verse number 1. Amen. So it says, and in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians. These were Greeks. These were these Jewish Greeks against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Have you seen that before? Anybody ever read that before?
Yep.
Everybody's quiet. You know what it means.
Yep.
Amen. Speak it to believers. It's interesting that in those days when the number of disciples were multiplied because the church was growing in leaps and bounds, there arose a murmur or complaining of
resources.
These were Jewish Greeks that had a problem with the Hebrews, which were the hometown Jews. Amen? They had a problem. Why? Because the widows were neglected. The people who were in need, listen to me now, were neglected in the daily ministry. So they would come to the money changers. Remember the money changers that Jesus knocked over those tables? But they would come to these tables at this time, the first church. Everybody had everything in common.
There's
no lie. So people come every day to the money changer table and get what they need for that guy. And what was happening, these hometown Jews were just a little bit slight. They were sliding these Greek Jews that came. The Greek Jews were only able to think, oh, Greek, because these were the ones that got called into the ass. They got. So now they were in Jerusalem. Now they were getting saved. You know, God was moving God's power. They didn't have the money change today. They get a portion or half of what they should have got.
Were they black?
But the Hebrews got it all. Amen.
Amen.
So they're a little bit upset. Oh, I'm passed up here. And it's okay when the number of disciples, and this is what those days I'm explaining to you, when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were being neglected every day. Let me tell you about the principle that I extracted from this verse of scripture.
Lord Bush,
complaints have to be resolved in the church. Because they get ready to resolve this complaint. I think a church that is not growing is because we don't look into, and I'm looking at leaders now, we don't look at the complaint and deal with the properly resolved. Unresolved complaints will probably kill a ministry.
Probably.
And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking every time I hear somebody complaining, the first thing I think of is those Israelites that were complaining didn't make it to the promised land. That's the thing I tell. You just complain, you ain't gonna make it to no promised land, not knowing sometimes legitimate complaints will blow your church. Am I speaking to somebody?
Yeah.
So we got to be able to give an ear to complain. Let me say something about this church that I'm talking about. Because this church may not be the entity of the church. The church is within you. Maybe your church.
Yeah.
The problem is, you ain't resolving complaints. I'm speaking to somebody now.
Yeah.
Because maybe your household, all we hear is nag, nag, nag.
Yeah.
I'm saying something to somebody.
Yeah.
All we hear is complain. Listen to the complaint. If they're legitimate, say something.
That's right. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Complaining needs to be resolved.
That's right.
Now, talking about legitimate. Now, legitimate complaint. You know, she stepped on my foot. So I ain't gonna have nothing to do with that ministry no more. That's illegitimate. We're talking about legitimate things that will help move the kingdom forward.
Amen.
These kind of principles. So I love the fact that at this time the Greeks, they were having this, the Greek Jews were having a problem with the Hebrew Jews. Because I look around the church and there's so much division. Not necessarily this church, because y'all looking at me halfway. But the church in general, there's so much division.
It is.
And I think it comes from these places that people need God mandates for us to work together.
That's right.
I hate that I've got to, there's processes that I have to do, and I have to involve all the process. God mandates that I have to work with us. But I'm thinking the process, while I was working with Joe Crazy yesterday, can I be honest? Yesterday, Jamario and I, he knew I was talking about this. We were talking about, you know, there were some things we want to do in a technical sense, and we were out traveling yesterday trying to get some stuff done. We complained to each other. For me and Jamario, it's a natural thing. I didn't know it was worse was in the car. The first day was in the car. And we were going back and forth. You about these complaints. But what they realized is they shouldn't leave the word, teaching the word, because deal with these petty, issues. And I'm going to call them petty because they weren't important. I call them petty because they had people who could put them out of that. So he says, it's not really, what 12 said, it's not good for us to have to go and take care of these complaints. We need to stay the word of God. What I call that is apology is not alone. This is more for me than anybody else. Because I will try to fix stuff all by myself, I'm trying to spread myself as thin as I can, and it's just so ineffective. God literally has given me you to work the plan. Just what's going to happen with me alone. I tried, it just don't work.
It's a trash.
So I need, we can clap now. That's good. Let's see what you mean, that mean most. Amen. But it's time now for us to understand, because even in your own home, and I talk about you are the church, you probably can't move your mission forward because you're trying to do everything yourself. Your wife, listen, the best resource I have to do, the best resource I have in my eyes is my wife. She's wise beyond her years. Young woman, but wise. She's wise. Those of us who ain't got sense enough to know that clergy is not alone, I would take what she said because I'm the man of the house. And I tell her, welcome. You don't tell me. I run there. I'm the breadwinner. Come on now. I'm the man. I'm trying not to look around the room because I don't want to see nobody lying. I know we do that. We got this macho thing where, you know, I should have the answer. I'm telling you for a fact, there's been more victory that came from her lips than will ever come from my lips. Because God has given her to me as a help me.
Yes.
She completes my thoughts. She corrects, she reproves my thoughts.
Amen.
But getting back to the church, y'all don't want to talk about family. I know they did here. But it's so incredible in the church. I got to realize that I can't do it all by myself. Therefore, I've got to delegate. So what I've tried to do is be more delegatory. You mean the right word.
I'm fine.
You, at least you knew what it meant. So I tried to go through this process of delegating. Husbands, you've been in this place before. You say, you know what, I'm going to listen to it this time.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're listening to it, trying to go through the process, you're going to get this struggle.
Yep.
Trying to, I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm trying to deal with it. Listen to me now. I'm just going somewhere with this.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting that God made me to have to deal with others to get to my place of vision. I'm going to tell you why. Because in the process, as I'm dealing with others to try to get to my place of destiny, God wants to jump.
That's right.
That's
right.
He's working on. That's all we're doing. But what we've got to do is we've got to allow God's work to come in our lives. Deal with each other. You ain't even by yourself. Come on, folks. Because it didn't work out, because they may have said something, go back in there.
That's right.
Work this thing out. God has mandated that we work together.
That's right.
So I understood when the word was said that the 12 got together. No, there's no way we can wait on tables. We can't go to the money table all day, give out money, and then preach the word that night. I can't do all that. Amen. What was number one? When? Physical. No, one-on-one. Complaint. Complaint resolved. Number two, clergy can't do it alone. Make y'all write some of this stuff down with Brother Church. Number three, got to be able to delegate. You want to grow in church? You want anything to grow? Listen to these principles. Number three, look what he said. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honesty, for the seven don't understand this because this is our church. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, what I've got written in my notes for this one is crazy stuff. disciples when they saw him. Let me go ahead and let me look out amongst the group and let me figure out seven men of honest report. And I believe it was seven, and this is incredible, they picked seven because there's 7 days in a week. So each day, one of seven would be behind the table doing the work. That's the reason why I thought we picked out seven. But seven is a holy number. We have an organization in this church. Our deacon is kind of organization.
This is what they're trying to do. Video too.
That these are seven men that God has called into this ministry to look over things. So I have a little bit more time with the word and with prayer. You're going to see that in a minute. Amen. How about this, though? Because I want the seven, if you don't mind, to stand up right now. It ain't but a couple of us in the room right now. I think it's just a couple. And that's saying a whole bunch right now. I need seven men pulling up a window. Good report. Listen to me now.
We can have all the men stand up and start taking them out.
I'm trying to stay standing up. Don't stand up. Hey, I know you. You want to sit back down?
The three.
But what happened is, I think we got two of us missing. So we don't have a full seven. The reason why I'm doing this exercise is, the Bible says, look ye out among you. When I'm taking the ability, the liberty to do, to choose seven men myself. What they understood is, let the people decide in qualification. Why? So what I want you to do today, this is an exercise. I want you to look around the room, because there's seven men in this church that have to be picked to be this group. Some of you may be busy, not busy. They may not even be here today, but I want you to write down names, and I want you to give these names to God. Hold them up, I don't want to see it, but seven men who you know should be a part of this group. This is very unconventional. Now, the final choice is going to be mine, and it's seven. You're looking at me straight.
Yeah, where's that on here?
No.
But if the multitude...
Here's what I want represented on this side. I want, because mostly I want married men. But I decided there needs to be a single man in this group. Somebody who's single who can represent that voice. I'm almost at a place where there needs to be a woman, a female self. We got one hand clap, so that ain't gonna work. Amen. That ain't gonna work, because it's seven men. I see you, child. But I want you guys to do this as an exercise. Now, today, I got some guys that I've been working with. And I'm doing this as an exercise for the church, because I think that the Bible becomes very specific in terms of principle and how we roll this ministry. I want you guys to be a part of school the leadership. So when they mess up,
you
there. But I think what happens is, in the multitude of men, I think there's a good thing that can be established. So, you guys, sit down. Thank you for that. Excellent.
So
those two that stood up,
it should have
slowed
down.
Ain't no break. Wrong, though. All four. Excellent men of God. But it seems that now, they stood up to seven, because there's things that I have to do as the leader of this church, and we got to get stuff going. So these seven men were put in charge because now they had to run the face of the church. These were the people, but I want to talk about the qualifications. I think that's what we lose our ground. The first thing they asked for, he didn't ask for to be full of the Holy Ghost first. That was amazing to me. The first thing he wanted was honest. So these seven men, what they represent is an honest group. They had an honest report. The report is how people view you. Got it? Are you praying, Gary? Amen. They had to be an honest report. The first thing I want was integrity in choosing leadership. I'm telling you something now. If I'm going to run my household correctly and I've been put in charge, God expects honesty first, integrity, that I will speak the word in truth. Amen. The next thing he wanted, he wanted them to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. What I thought interesting about that was, he didn't want them talk to with the Holy Ghost. You're full of the Holy Ghost at church, you get home and you're cussing your wife out. That's a partial Holy Ghost. You stay real good at church.
Yeah.
For 3 hours, you literally spin off.
Yeah.
Number two, the clergy, I got to know I'm not alone. And I got to release this stuff and let them fix it. Number three, what was it? Did I say number three? The crazy stuff.
Messages, DVDs, books, or downloads, please see us at spmatlanta.org. If you would like to come visit us at one of our Sunday services, we're located at 2697 Tulsa Road in Decatur, Georgia. And remember, just as Jesus said, go away and sin no more.
Exponential growth.